Oceanside's theme for 2024 is doing what I can do. And we talk about this theme once a month. Let's break it down very quickly. Notice that first word, doing. That involves activity. That involves action. The second word is what. That involves actions, works, programs, anything that you and I as Christians can be involved in as far as our spiritual lives is concerned. Notice that little word, I. We're talking about what I do personally. I'm not concerned about others. I'm concerned solely about me, myself, I, what I can do for the cause of Christ. And lastly, can do. That which is really possible. Sometimes you and I have a tendency to limit ourselves, don't you? I can't do this, I can't do that. And yet there are things that we really can do if we so desire. Doing what I can do. Sometimes when we talk about this idea of doing what I can do, we think about the big things, don't we? Doing what I can do as far as becoming a leader in a congregation. Doing what I can do to save the souls of others and preach the gospel to the lost. Doing what I can do as a teacher in the local congregation. Doing what I can do to be the best member of a local congregation. Folks, all of those things are big things. And yes, those big things need to be done, but sometimes we might need to focus on the smaller things that can be done. In fact, we might refer to them as the private things. And one of those things is prayer, isn't it? In Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus makes an interesting statement. He says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door, and pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." A very private matter, is it not? Nobody else knows. I go into my closet, I shut the door, and I pray unto the Almighty God. This morning we want to look at the lesson, doing what I can do through prayer. We're going to be talking about 3 points in this lesson. The first one is this: prayer is a doing thing, isn't it? We are commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Prayer has been defined very simply as this: talking to God. Regardless of how simple the definition is, it still involves doing a thing, doesn't it? In other words, when you and I pray, there is action involved in that prayer life. And in fact, there is a whole lot more action than maybe we sometimes think about. One of the things that it required is focused attention upon the Father which is in heaven. When Jesus was teaching individuals to pray, He says this, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Matthew 6, verse 9. Folks, when you and I pray, you and I need to be focused upon the very throne room of the Almighty God. In fact, we need to be focused upon the one who is sitting upon that throne, in that throne room. My mind is to be totally focused upon my conversation with the Almighty God. But notice, secondly, my heart must be sincere and fervent in that prayer. James 5, verse 16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The words do not come just from mere babbling. They are intense. They are sincere. They are earnest. When I go before the Father and I pour out my heart unto the Almighty God, there are also words that are to be uttered, aren't they? Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, there's those words, let your requests be made known unto God. In fact, prayer might involve the entirety of our body. For you see, you and I engage in prayer until we receive the answer we desire from the Lord. I have a verse down there, Luke 11, verse 8. There's a word in that verse that is known as importunity. We never use that word, do we? How many of you have said it this last week? Not a one of us. And that little word, however, means this: to keep going to God over and over and over and over again until God gets so sick of you that He says, here, I'll give you exactly what you want. I don't really mean sick of you. He never gets sick of us. But we pray so much. You see, we just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. It involves the entirety of our being. Think about that. My mind is focused on God. My heart earnestly cries out unto Him. My voice, my mouth expresses exactly what I desire. And my body continues to do this action until I get exactly what I want from God. What's interesting about prayer is this: it is the hardest, simplest thing that you and I can do as Christians, isn't it? What do I mean by that? Well, you go ask any Christian, how's your prayer life? And almost every Christian will say something like this: I'm not really satisfied with my prayer life. I wish I understood prayer more. I wish I could pray better. I wish I were more of what some refer to as a prayer warrior. And I'm just not happy with my prayer life. In fact, many people are like the disciples of Jesus who came to Him and told Him, Lord, teach us to pray. It's a hard, difficult task to be good in prayer, folks. Here's what's interesting. Bible greats throughout all the ages have been individuals who have prayed unto the Father. And I've got a list, 250, that we're about to go through. No, not quite that many. Notice this. So Abraham prayed unto God. Genesis 20, verse 17. Was Abraham a Bible great? Absolutely. Known as the father of the faithful. And yet he was an individual who constantly approached God in prayer. Moses prayed unto the Lord. Numbers 4:11, verse 2. We find a woman by the name of Hannah, and the Bible says of her, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says Samuel, the prophet, prayed unto the Lord. 1 Samuel 8. We find too, Elisha was a man who prayed unto the Lord. 1 Kings 6, verse 17. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. 2 Kings 19, 15. Now Ezra, when he had prayed, the Bible says, Ezra 10, verse 1. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah 2, verse 4. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Jonah 2, verse 1. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That, my friends, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Mark 1:35. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, Acts 9, verse 40. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Those are 12 examples of Bible greats who pray. Go back, if you've taken those notes, and just read about the prayers of those individuals. Read about the circumstances, the situations. Read about the things for which they were praying in those particular times when the Bible says they were praying, and you will be amazed by those individuals. Bible greats have always prayed unto God. I told you there's 3 points, didn't I? And we're already at point number 3. You say, "Woo, we're going to be finished quick today." Folks, right here is the meat of the lesson. How to do prayer better. Isn't that what we want to do? I'm going to try to give you some recommendations, some advice that we can take home and maybe help us to become better people who pray. The first point is this: appreciate the one to whom we are praying. Remember what Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Folks, we are not talking to a man in prayer. When you and I bow our heads and we direct those prayers heavenward, we are directing our prayers to a heavenly Father, aren't we? We are talking about the sovereign God of the universe. We are talking about the Creator of heavens and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. We are talking about the giver of life, aren't we? We are talking about the individual who has redeemed man from all iniquity and all sin and all transgression. We are talking about that individual who is the governor of all the nations, King of kings, Lord of lords. We are talking about that individual who is one day going to judge us. In fact, not just us, but the entirety of the world, is he not? We are talking about the heavenly master of all things. When I enter into his presence, I should never take that lightly. He is majestic. He is wonderful. He is loving. He is caring. And he is high, high, high above all else, my friends. When you pray, you remember into whose presence you have put yourself. Point number 2. Set aside times to regularly pray unto God. One of the interesting things about the Jews is that is exactly what they did. The psalmist in Psalm 55, 17 says this: "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray." David in his mind knew that there are certain times of every day that I'm going to pray to my God. I'm going to do it at evening, I'm going to do it in the morning, and I'm going to do it at noon. There was another man that was similar to that, was there not? A man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was not even in Judea. He was not near the city of Jerusalem. He'd been taken captive into Babylon, and yet the Bible tells us he entered into his house and in his bedchamber he prayed 3 times a day unto God. Folks, listen to me. Set aside a time every day to pray. And don't you ever miss that time. Put it in your calendar. 7 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'm going to be praying unto my God. There will be no interruptions. There will be nothing else scheduled. I have someone to meet in an appointment, and it is of utmost necessity that I keep it. And you never miss. You see, it's one way of becoming regular in prayer, isn't it? It's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? We like to play on the fly, don't we? Let's get good at praying at a regular basis. Point number three, find a place free from distractions. Remember what Jesus tells us? Go into your closet, shut the door, and what? Pray. Now some of you might have to clean out a closet or two. But what he just means by that is find somewhere away from distractions, away from the problems of the world, away from all the other individuals, and do what? You pray there all by yourself. It's just you and who? It's just me and God. Mark 1 verse 35, just a moment ago. Jesus rose up when? Early in the morning. I find when I rise up early, ain't nobody around. I get up early on Sundays and come to the building. It's funny, I count the cars that are on the road as I'm coming. Sometimes there are zero. The most I've ever had are five. You get up early in the morning. And you find you a solitary place, a place where there is nobody. And what do? You pray, don't you? Another occasion. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, the Bible tells us that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. Away from the masses, away from His apostles, to pray. Do you remember when Jesus entered into the Garden of Gethsemane? He took all 12 of His disciples, didn't He? He then took Peter, James, and John, and He went just a little bit further with those three men. And then the Bible says this, He left them there, and He went about a stone's cast from them. I bet He was a pretty good thrower, don't you? Notice what the text says. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed all alone, didn't He? All alone. Find a place where it's just you and God. And folks, I don't mean on your back, 12 o'clock at night, in bed. Because most of the time, you're going to go to sleep. Aren't you? God doesn't want you going to sleep when you come talk to Him. You ever been on the phone with somebody to go to sleep on the other end? Drive you nuts. Hey, you there? He wakes up the next morning, calls you back. I'm sorry, I went to sleep on you. I must not be very important. Folks, find a place all alone. Do it three times a day. And you focus on who? You focus on the Almighty God to whom you're praying. Notice this next one. Pray with fervency, folks. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that little word fervent mean? It means this, to be active, to be operative. Watch this, to pray with what? To pray with power. Do we find examples of that in Scripture? Oh yes, many of them. One of them was a woman by the name of Hannah. We mentioned her a while ago, didn't we? And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and watch this, and wept sore. 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. Was she praying earnestly? Here was a woman who was barren. Here was a woman who was being made fun of by another woman who had children. And she goes to God and she pours out her heart unto God, weeping and crying as she prays. Fervent in prayer. How about Hezekiah? Hezekiah was a sick man. Isaiah came to him, told him he needed to get his house in order because he was going to die. Isaiah departs and immediately Hezekiah prays. And notice what the Bible says. He prayed unto the Lord and Hezekiah what? Wept sore, the Bible says. Isaiah had only gotten into the outer court of the palace, and God said, go back and talk to the king. Isaiah goes back, he speaks to Hezekiah, and look what he says. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and what? I have seen thy tears. Folks, one of the things that makes God respond to our prayers is not just the words. It's the fervency, and it's the power, and it's the might of the prayer from the heart. How much do I really desire this? How much do I really want this? How much is this really impacting my life? God sees that, and He responds to it. Epaphras had taken a gift to Paul. And Paul writes about this man, Epaphras, who is one of you. He's one of the members of the church at Colossae. Notice how he describes him, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Now note this, always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayer. Not just praying for you, laboring fervently for you in prayer. Wouldn't you love to have heard Epaphras pray for the Colossians? I would have loved to have heard that prayer, wouldn't you? What does a prayer like that sound like? There was intensity in that prayer. There's power in that prayer. And Paul somehow had heard those prayers, had he not? And now he acknowledges just how much effort and power there was in the prayer of Ephesus for the Colossians. Wouldn't you think the Colossians would love Epaphras for that? How hard do you pray for somebody else? Was Jesus a man who was fervent in prayer? Just go into the garden and see his fervency. Notice this. And being in agony, he prayed. Being in agony, he prayed. But notice how he prayed, more earnestly. And the sweat dropped from his head, the Bible says, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Have you ever prayed so hard that you sweat great drops of blood? I've never prayed that hard, have you? Never been even close to that. I don't think I've even sweated unless it was outside and it's hot. When I prayed, the Hebrew writer picks up on how Jesus prayed in the garden in Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Strong crying and tears. We remember the words of Jesus' prayer, don't we? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I would have liked to have heard those words uttered in the midst of strong crying and tears, wouldn't you? My friends, we need fervent prayer. Prayer that comes from hearts that are stirred within us, that deeply desire the things that we are going to God and expressing to Him. Notice this. Learn how to pray different kinds of prayers, folks. Most of the time, when we pray, we go to God wanting something, don't we? It's always a prayer of request. Help me, help this person, get me well, get me out of this situation that I've got myself into. Guess what? Variety adds life to prayer, does it not? And there are many different kinds of prayers that you and I can pray. Let's say we get up this morning and we feel wonderful. We've set aside 7:15. I'm going to pray to God. It's that time, and I'm going to choose a type of prayer. I'm going to have a prayer of praise this morning. And the only thing I'm going to focus on is God and who He is and how wonderful He is. This prayer is going to have nothing to do with me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? See, oftentimes that's all our prayers are for, is for me. No. Praise Him for His majesty. Praise Him for His glory. Praise Him for His power. Praise Him for His wisdom. Praise Him for His redemption and His salvation that He's offered to us. Praise Him for the hope that He's given us in this life. Folks, praise God. How about this next one? Prayers of intercession. These prayers, again, have nothing to do with me. I want God to intercede on behalf of other individuals. Usually we're pretty good at that, especially in times of sickness. But do you know of other situations in your family, in the lives of your friends, those that you work with? Individuals are struggling, maybe with finances, whatever it might be. Pray specifically for those situations and ask God to intercede and intervene on their behalf. He can do that, can He? Just give prayers of thanks, folks. Just give prayers of thanks. Are we a rich people? You got a house? Got furniture in your house? You sleep in a hammock? I doubt it. Got a car, two cars? Some got three cars. Got plenty of clothes? Got food to eat? Have friends? Do you have salvation in Christ Jesus? Do you have the Bible in your hands? Do you have hope of heaven in the hereafter? All of these things are things that you and I can be thankful for. We gripe and we complain and we cry and we moan because of all we don't have. Look at what we do have. And go to God and just give Him thanks. Make a long list, folks. Make a list of 100 things that you're thankful for and go to God and give Him thanks for every one of them. Guess what? He's got plenty of time to listen to you. You'll get tired before He does. There's no doubt. Pray for specific things. I find it interesting that in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, the Lord says this, "Peter, I have prayed for thee." Is that pretty specific? Oh, yeah. Pray for specific things. How about this? Pray for God's providence. Nehemiah wanted to go back and rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, didn't he? But he didn't know how to ask the king. He goes before the king, carrying out his daily duties, and the king sees that he's down, that he's depressed, and immediately the king asks about his state, doesn't he? And the Bible says this, "And I prayed to the God of heaven." I'd like to have heard the words of that prayer, wouldn't you? But here's what's interesting. He told the king exactly what was going on. "I'm down, I'm depressed because of what's going on back in the city of Jerusalem." And guess what the king does? The king releases him from his responsibility, gives him letters, and provides supplies to him to help rebuild those walls. The only difference between the two situations is a prayer that came between them. God's providence intervened in Nehemiah's life. Prayers for healing, that's exactly what Hezekiah prayed for. Remember, Isaiah went back in and he told him, "The Lord has heard your prayers, He has seen your tears," and he tells him this, "You now have 15 more years to live." Folks, when you're about to die, 15 years is a long time, isn't it? Another thing we need to do is pray for our rulers, and the Bible commands that. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. Folks, we need to get on our knees, and regardless of who's in a position of power, we need to pray as hard as we can on their behalf. if they're doing wrong, to do what is right. If they're doing right, to continue that. For them to be successful, for them to be healthy, for those individuals' lives to be sustained, for their families to do well, for them to be protected. We need to pray as hard as we can. Oh, we've got plenty to pray for. If we'll just think about the different types of prayer. We've already mentioned this, but I want us to remember it. Pray for specific things, folks. Go to God with names. Go to God with specific wants. Go to God with those people that we want healed. Go to God with our plans and with our agendas and talk to God. Have other individuals gone to God with specific prayers? Absolutely. Abraham commissioned a servant to go and find his son a wife. He makes that trip, he gets to a well, and all of a sudden, there are individuals coming to that well, and guess what that servant does? He prays. He says, I want a damsel to fill up a bucket of water, bring it to me, and ask me for water, and to also water my flocks. And guess what? The very next damsel was Rebekah. And she became the wife of Isaac, didn't she? Immediately, that prayer was answered. A specific prayer. Hannah didn't just pray for a child. The Bible tells us she prayed for a man-child, did she not? We may mention a while ago, the Lord prayed specifically for Peter. He even called him in. Peter, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee with wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Can you imagine Jesus praying for you? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? The Lord prayed for this cup to pass from him. Paul prayed for the thorn in his side to be removed from him, didn't he? Three times he prayed for that. Guys, you get just as specific as you possibly can in your prayers. And you let God know exactly what you desire of Him. And when you ask, do it fervently. No vacillating, no doubting, boldly, proudly. God, this is exactly what I want. Guess what? God listens to those kind of prayers. Never quit praying. Never, folks. Jesus told a parable on one occasion, and the parable was to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 12, continuing instant in prayer. The Bible tells us praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Continuing instant in prayer, Colossians 4, verse 2. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. I prayed last week. I prayed last month. I prayed last year, and my prayer hasn't been answered. Keep praying. Folks, you're going to pray today. You're going to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next Sunday again. Never are you going to quit praying. Over and over and over, prayer is a part of my life and who I am. Folks, we must do all we can do through prayer. Now, you might ask why. And we could preach a whole other lesson, could we not? The answer is simple. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes lives, doesn't it? Prayer changes nations. The Bible teaches us that prayer changes history. How about this one? Prayer can change eternal destinies of men. Kidding it? Have you ever heard of a mother and father praying for their son or daughter to find a good mate to be their spouse. And the person that they meet is not even a Christian. They meet that individual, they fall in love, they convert that individual, and that individual becomes a faithful member of the church, a leader in the church, and dies as a faithful member. Question: did it have anything to do with the prayer of mom and dad 16, 17, 18, 19 years ago? Very well could have been, couldn't it? Prayer can change eternal destinies. Let's become so good at prayer that when you and I go before God, He says something like that. There He is again. Wouldn't you love that? You just talked to me an hour ago. There He is again. It's okay. That's better than this. Whose is this voice that I hear? That's not the way we want to pray. Folks, when I go to God, I want God to recognize exactly who's there, don't you? Immediately. He's back. You and I need to develop the attitude of the psalmist. In Psalm 5, verse 2, notice what he says. Hearken, hearken unto my voice. My King and my God, for I will what? I will pray unto thee. Folks, don't let a day go by that you do not utter your prayers unto the Heavenly Father. You make up your mind this morning, I'm going to do everything I can do through my prayers for myself, for others, for the church, for the world, for leaders, for whomever it might be. I'm going to do everything I can do in my prayer life. One of the things that you can't do, however, is this. You cannot pray for your salvation. That is not the way it's done, is it? The Bible tells us how to be saved. And prayer's not involved in that. Hearing the truth is, isn't it? We had our Bible bowl yesterday and we had passages of Scripture that talk about salvation and salvation issues. James 1 verse 18, the Bible tells us, of His own will begat He us, how? With the word of truth. It is through the Word of God that we are begotten again into the family of God. In the very next verse, James 1:19, Peter starts with these words. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. You see, we have to hear the Word of God in order to be saved. Then we have to believe it, do we not? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Folks, you do not want to die in that condition. But it's not enough to believe. A man has to repent. He's got to die to that old way of living. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. Upon repenting, we confess the beautiful name of Jesus publicly before men, so He'll confess us before the Father. Matthew 10, verse 32. We take that old dead man of sin, we bury him in the waters of baptism, don't we? And the blood of Jesus cleanses our sins, and we arise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. If you haven't done that, that's the way you're saved. You'll never pray to Jesus for Him to save you. That's not the way salvation occurs. Dear Christian, what about you? You can pray for your salvation, can't you? You've already obeyed the gospel. Now the Bible tells us that we have to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, guess what? He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 7. Maybe you need to confess those sins publicly today and ask God to forgive you. You need to respond to this invitation. Once you come, as together we stand and sing.